Well, we ran out of tape, and we were just talking about where David and his attendants dressed for the wedding.
Uh-huh.
Would you repeat that for me?
Where they dressed?
Uh-huh.
Well, they dressed up at David's house at Rio Medina.
Okay. So we talked about their marriage, the clothes they wore, and then about having to also pay the altar boys to get through the gate. And did they take any pictures in church?
Oh, yes. They took a number of pictures in church.
Who was the photographer?
Kilpatrick? Kilpatrick. I think he already took them then.
The custom then had changed from making the trip to San Antonio.
Oh, yes.
And you had your photographer hired
to come here and take pictures.
Okay. All right, good. Now, you told me earlier that the reception started at about approximately 10:30. How many guests were there?
I would say about 750.
That's a big difference from 50 at your wedding, right?
It sure was. And the pocketbook, too.
And where was the reception held?
At the Kinnick Park.
And what kind of food did you serve?
We had beef barbecue. And there was a number of friends and, well, some were hired people. Those days you could get couples to come and do a big wedding for you for about $5 a piece. And they worked all day. They made the barbecue and all that. But David's mother and daddy, they furnished the beef, the meat for the barbecue. And of course then we had the potato salad and the cabbage slaw, pickles, bread, what goes with it, and then the wedding cake, of course.
Who baked the wedding cake?
Corrine Mann. And it was in the shape of a prayer book with a silver cross, a cross it made out of silver beads. And, it was a two-layer cake, but it was a great big one. And the bride and groom and was a Navy man, of course, because at the time David was in the Navy. So,
Did he have a groom's cake? David?
No. They only had one white cake.
That was considered,
yes,
a cake for the couple.
All right.
So, what kind of drinks did you serve?
Well, by the time they went home that night at 1, they had drank 18 half barrels.
Of beer.
Wow. 18. And they wanted to get another one, but we said that was enough.
I would think so. You said that they, I believe you told me they had a dance.
They had a dance, uh-huh.
What time did this start?
Well, around about 8 o'clock, I guess, till.
Did they have a wedding march?
That they probably had a march, but I just don't recall whether.
You wouldn't know who led it. Do you remember
who led it? No.
You probably had too many other things on your mind.
Yes.
Okay, how long did this dance last?
Till midnight.
Did the bride and groom stay till the end like you and Harold stayed at your wedding?
They stayed till the dance was over. Then they left after the dance and they went to Mexico somewhere. And just about between Christmas and New Year's, Howard and I bought a new little Plymouth car, and it wasn't broke in yet. So in February, David and Joanne broke it in going to Mexico on their wedding trip.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let me ask you this. You said they did stay till the end of the dance, but during the time the dance was going on, did they leave and perhaps change their clothes?
No, they didn't change into going away clothes.
No, it didn't change into
going
away clothes. Okay. Now, I understand, or in fact, I know because I was a guest, that you had a golden wedding not too long ago. In fact, this year, what day was that held?
That was held on the 27th of April.
Okay, and what day was your wedding date again?
On the 19th.
Well, why did you choose the 27th of April?
Because we couldn't get no reservations for the park for that particular day.
I see. Would you, how long did you plan ahead for this golden wedding?
At least 6 to 8 months.
How many guests were invited?
About 550.
So you increased your guest list too, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
We did.
Now, of the attendants that were in your wedding, how many were here for your golden wedding?
Five. There was only one that had passed on. That was Clarence Holthouse.
Oh, I see. Well, did y'all have any kind of a rehearsal the evening before?
No.
Okay. What did you wear this time for this ceremony?
For this, I had a light blue dress, just a street length dress, and Howard had a blue serge suit. And the attendants wore just their Sunday best.
Right.
We didn't want to go into big expenses for them or nothing like that to have special clothes.
What day of the week was this, April the 27th?
On a Sunday evening.
Okay. So you didn't. What kind? Did you have any flowers? Did you give
for
any?
For this golden wedding? Mm-hmm. No. I carried my mother-in-law's golden rosary that she got from St. Anne's Society when she was in St. Anne's 50 years.
Oh,
they gave her a gold rosary, and that's what I carried.
Oh, that was nice. Did you have a church ceremony again?
Oh, yes. We had a mass.
Mm-hmm. What time of the day did this take?
4 o'clock in the evening.
It was, again, a Catholic ceremony. And did all of you take communion?
Oh, yes.
Excuse me.
The nieces and nephews sang 3 or 4 different very beautiful songs in church, and they played the guitars.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to fast this time before you went to communion?
No. Times have changed.
Times have changed from a 9 o'clock in the morning ceremony to a 4 o'clock
or
in the afternoon. Okay. Who else participated in this ceremony this time in your golden wedding?
Well, we had all the ones there that were in our wedding, except the one, like I said. And then there was our daughter and her husband, Joanne and David, and there was the 3 grandchildren, Timmy, Becky, and Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And then our sisters and brothers, which were quite a number of them, and then close friends, aunts and uncles, first cousins and the second cousins.
Oh, I see. Did your family participate in the ceremony in church? Your daughter and husband and the children?
Well, yes. They all walked down the aisle with us to the front of the church. Communion, they all taken communion. And most everybody that was there went to communion. It was very beautiful.
Did you have any photos made of all of this?
Oh, yes. Quite a number.
Who was the photographer?
Jay Arthur, a boy that was just out of high school shortly here. And he made a beautiful job of it.
Did he take photos in church?
In church.
Any
and afterwards, and at the reception.
At the reception, what kind of food was served?
We had it catered from San Antonio, and it consisted of a half a barbecued chicken on a plate, potato salad and cabbage slaw, pickles, bread, and then, of course, the cake. This time, we had a cake for the bride, and we had a chocolate cake for the groom. So, and that was decorated in barbershop tools. We had the scissors and the barber pole and the comb and what have you on the brown cake.
Why was it decorated in this manner?
Because Howard was barber for 45 years.
Okay. Good.
And I worked at the stores and in the drugstore for 33 years. Mm-hmm. Then when he sold the barbershop in 1970, I didn't see why I should work no more if he could quit, so I quit too.
Good thinking. Okay, one more time. What kind of drinks were served at this party?
At this party?
Mm-hmm. This golden wedding.
Well, let's see. There was about 6 half barrels served from, say, about 5 o'clock till 8 o'clock. And from then on, when the dance started, everybody bought their own drinks in the hall from the St. Louis parish, which they took the benefit of selling the drinks and things after that time.
Did you have you just said when the dance started. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who played the music for your dance?
The Jeff Thompson Music Orchestra.
So you, for this dance,
yes,
you hired...
We hired our, yes. Because all the old uncles that played the first time, they weren't no more.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I would imagine that at your daughter's wedding, you had a hired band also, right?
Yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I just don't recall who it was.
Okay. Did you have a wedding march this time?
Oh, definitely. That was about the 45th or 50th march that we've led. We've been leading wedding marches for years already, and that was the thing we were very concerned about, to keep up our wedding march until our 50th wedding, and we did it.
So you led your own wedding march.
Wedding march.
That's beautiful. That's great. How did you get started doing this?
Oh, well, I don't know. Seems like at Queehee, several years ago, at the Queehee Gun Club, they had the free barbecue for the Queehee Club members. And that night, they decided that a march would be nice. And why Howard and I were asked to lead it, we don't know, but that's how we started. That was our first march we ever led. That didn't turn out so good, but as we went on, they got better.
Now, do you have a plan you follow now?
Oh, yes.
For every, mm-hmm. Each one is the same?
Yes. About the same.
Yeah.
Of course, Howard, he usually watches where I go, and he goes the same course.
Uh-huh. So you really are actually lead it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now I understand. Okay, one more question. How long did this dance last for your wedding?
Well,
golden wedding.
It was Sunday evening, and a lot of people left, say about 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. or 11:30. So about 11:30 that night, there weren't but maybe 8 or 10 couples, mm-hmm. there. And that is when we told the orchestra, well, it was enough for that evening.
Yeah.
For old people.
Well, that was really nice to be able to do that.
But we have to really give the credit to the daughter and the son-in-law and the grandkids, because they're really the ones that worked hard to have this. We do appreciate it.
I'm sure you do. Well, I'm sure they were happy to do it. I understand one of your grandsons is going to be marrying next year.
Yes, Timmy has told us that he has set his wedding date for next year in October. He would have liked to have the 18th of October, which is his mom and daddy's wedding day. Also his grandma and grandpa Layman's wedding day, or great-grandma and grandpa. But he couldn't get that special date because this day and time you have to plan about a year ahead before you can get the dates you want.
That's right. So there's already preparation beginning for this wedding, which is...
And the deposit for the park is already down to have that certain date reserved.
What size wedding do you think this one's going to be?
Oh, I hate to think about it. Like my daughter said, Mother, don't throw the list away you made for your golden wedding, because we have to follow that, partly at least. So, it'll be a pretty good size one, I would say. 700-800 or more.
I guess everybody's looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, you can't miss nobody anymore the way.
Right. This has been just wonderful, these descriptions of these weddings. And it's brought us through three generations, plus then your golden wedding. I kind of hate to get into another subject, but another one of my subjects I'm supposed to speak on is Christmas. And now we're going to talk about Christmas in your childhood. What type of a tree did you have?
Always cedar.
And who got the Christmas tree?
Daddy would cut it in our pasture land.
Did you as children ever go with him?
Sometime we did. Bring it home in the wagon.
How far ahead of Christmas Day did he get this tree?
Just maybe 2 or 3 days.
And where did you put the Christmas tree?
Well, he usually had a big 5-gallon can. He'd fill it with rocks and set the tree right in the middle, put a little water in. That would keep the tree fresh.
Was there any particular spot in the house that the tree was set up?
In our big bedroom, which had a fireplace in it, and right in the middle of the room. It was possibly about 24 feet long by 12 or 14 feet wide, this very big room, right in the center.
Okay. When was this tree decorated?
Never before Christmas Eve day.
Who decorated the tree?
Mother would decorate the tree, and she'd go in there and she'd close the door. She'd probably put a little piece of paper or something in the keyhole from the other side where she was, so we couldn't be peeping all day. She told us she had to go in there and help Santa Claus trim the tree. Of course, if we'd get a chance to peep, we would, but we never could see Santa Claus in there. And 3-4 days before, Mother would always bake the cookies, and we had fruit, the apples. She'd always choose the apples with a nice stem, and she'd put a string on it. And the oranges, she'd take a big long needle and stick it through the orange to hang on the tree. And the cookies, she had all shapes of cookie cutters, and they were homemade ones. Bill Foos made them in his tin shop. She had one shaped horse, and a fish, a pig, a star, a heart, and one was a great big one, a peacock.
Oh.
And that approximately was about 8 inches long, and it sat about 5 inches high, I guess. But it was a perfect peacock. And all those cookies she would bake, and then she'd put powdered sugar on them and trim them with the little Christmas candies. Some with sugar, red and green and different colors. And then some were the little beets they could buy in little packages. And when she had her powdered sugar on there, well, she'd put these little beets and would decorate it. Would put the eyes in place and all things like that.
Oh.
And she'd put her string on these cookies, and that was our tree decorations.
Did you string popcorn?
No, I don't recall that we ever strung the popcorn.
So you had
some people already did in those days. We never did.
You had apples and oranges and the cookies.
And the cookies. And it was, you'd walk in the room and that smell was just the thing for Christmas.
Did it have any lighting of any kind?
Yes, we had candles. Each little candle was in a little candle holder with a little clip on it. And you would clip that onto the branch. And we were never allowed to light one of them candles unless Daddy and Mother were right there with us. Usually in the evening, for say about a week, we were allowed to light them candles. And they were taken off because the tree was getting dry and it was too much danger fire.
Did the wax from the candles add to the smell of the...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And especially when you put your candle out, you could smell that.
Hmm. So you weren't allowed to help decorate the tree. When did you get to see the Christmas tree?
Well, kind of late in the evening on Christmas Eve, when we were through with all our chores, because at the time we had the dairy cows to milk, and we separated our milk and had to do all our work, and then Daddy would say, he'd go out and he'd say he's going to go close the hen house, but instead he'd have a little whistler, either he would whistle by the corner of the house, and we all got excited. Santa Claus blew the whistle, now he left, we can go in and see our tree. And we knew every year about what we would get. I knew every year what I got was a 25 set of tin dishes, which they bought at the Tundra store in Cashville. And the dolls, well, we never had ball dolls much. Mother usually would make us some out of socks from Dad's socks, you know. She'd maybe buy a new pair. And those days you could buy those nice heavy cotton socks. They had the white heel and toe, and they were gray. And she'd embroider eyes and the mouth and the nose on them, and she'd stuff them with cotton. And those were our dolls.
And that's the cutest idea. Those stuffed dolls,
right,
out of a sock.
Right. Those socks were gray, and then they had a white heel and toe part on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she made our doll.
Well, did she attach arms or something?
Oh, yes, yes.
And legs?
And she'd make this doll out of one sock, and then the second sock she'd cut through the center, and those were the arms and the legs.
Oh.
And the tip, the foot part would be the hand,
uh-huh,
and the white part of it then was your hand.
Yeah.
And then the other part was the feet. And once in a while, she'd fix little shoes she had to put on the foot part.
Oh, how cute. Did she put anything on them for hair?
Not that I recall.
Just a bonnet or something on the head, or what?
Well, sometimes they'd put bonnets on, and then again, sometimes they'd have, like, yarn, and they'd string yarn, or either plait yarn and put it on the doll head like that.
For braids.
For braids.
I see.
With a little ribbon in it or something like that.
So you got this homemade doll at a 25-cent
set of tin dishes. Always tin dishes.
What about the boys? What did they get?
Well, the boys, they usually got like a ball and maybe a little baseball bat, perhaps. And most of their balls were made out of store twine. Those days, you didn't buy too much in the line of toys. And everything you bought in the stores was tied with twine, no scotch tape and all this like we have this day and time. And they would put this twine on, perhaps the center was a piece of a corn cob, and they just keep on adding this store twine, pull it real tight. Made the best baseball. If you hit somebody with it, it would hurt. It was a hard ball.
Well, I'll say.
And that was our balls we had.
What time, you said this was in the evening after the chores were done, and that's on Christmas Eve evening. Did you give your parents gifts?
No.
It was only from Santa Claus to the children?
To the children.
I see.
That was just what Santa Claus left under the tree.
Did you ever attend Midnight Mass then?
Oh, no, because we had this horse and buggy, and the weather was usually cold. No, we didn't know nothing about it. Did they have the Midnight Mass?
I don't know.
I don't recall. I just can't recall that. But we would go to church on Christmas Day, and we had to go to church every Sunday. Hitch up the horse and buggy, and we'd go to usually 9 or 10 o'clock mass, whatever time church was at the time.
I said I don't know, but I do know that Tilly Noonan told me that they had midnight mass when she was a kid.
Did they?
But she didn't get to go because she was too little. The older children went.
I see.
Now, did you follow this same procedure with Joanne as far as your daughter, as far as the Christmas tree was concerned?
Yes, we tried to, but then as time went on, people start fixing trees perhaps a week before Christmas, and by the time Christmas comes, Christmas is old to people the way they do now. And then when Joanne was a little girl, we already could buy ornaments to put on the tree, but we still put fruit on and baked our cookies and things like that, which really made the old-fashioned Christmas.
I agree. But what you're saying is by this time, some people were putting their trees up ahead, so it was kind of hard to convince a kid.
Right.
That Santa Claus made their tree.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, this day and time, they don't do it all anymore like we grew up with.
Mm-hmm. What type of toys did Joanne get in comparison to the ones you got?
Well, when Joanne was a little girl, we didn't have the means to buy toys. And so Howard usually built her, he built the nicest little set of table and chairs out of apple crates. And when Joanne would go to school or when she'd go to bed at night, we would paint those little things. And he also built her a little old-fashioned kitchen cabinet with two drawers on the bottom and two shelves on top and opening in the middle. And the little knobs he would take the little thread spool and put a screw through the middle for the knobs on the cabinets, and he would sand it. We'd sand it with sandpaper by hand, and then we'd paint it with enamel paint. It was a pretty blue we painted it. I remember that so well.
So she had things that were made by
handmade, yes.
You too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And by then you could buy the little china dishes. Mm-hmm. She had several sets of the china. Also tin. They still had tin dishes. But she had several sets of the little china dishes.
Did she ever get any dolls?
Oh, yes. Them days you could already buy the dolls. And Some were bigger dolls and some were smaller. Of course, when they were smaller, they liked the little baby dolls. Mm-hmm. And then when she got to be about perhaps 6, 7 years old, we bought her a little rocking chair, and then they could rock the dolls and things like that, which I don't know if they do nowadays anymore.
Probably don't have time. They're so busy wanting to grow up too fast.
That's right.
You still made things for her, but then it was kind of hard to continue this tradition of keeping the tree hidden. And some of the things you were starting to get, you were giving her, you were buying.
Right.
Okay. Now, what about her children?
Oh, well, her children, they were brought up in a different world.
So we're talking about 20 with you and 1937 or 38 with her, and now to past 1953 with her children. What type of Christmas do they have in comparison?
Well, they have Christmas and more Christmas. They always had 3 and 4 and 5 packages. Expensive packages, perhaps, like the jewelry, clothes, jewelry boxes, or leather jackets, and as they grew older, they wanted more in the clothes line. But when they were little, I used to work in the drugstore, and I remember 3, 4 years there in succession. When they were still little, I spent a lot of money on those 98-cent plastic toys, like the little cart guns and tops maybe, and rubber balls and baseball bats, and there was just nothing that they didn't have as long as I worked and that we could afford to get it from. And David and Joanne would buy a lot of things from too. And now their tree, for several years already, they have made their own ornaments, like using old beads and decorating the styrofoam balls. And one year they have a tree made out of that. And most of the time they have the artificial tree. And one year or so, they fix a tree with different color velvet bows on it.